Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you are always faithful, Lord, and that you always know what you're doing. And I just pray, Father, that tonight, Lord, that we would learn, that we would grow, Lord, that by the Spirit of the Lord, you would speak into our lives and show us, Lord, how we can have a greater impact in this world. Show us, Lord, how we can truly lead others. I pray, Father, that you help me, Lord, to say what you'd have me to. Lord, that you bring to my remembrance, Lord, and speak through me tonight, Lord, the things that you desire to say. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, we looked at David as a leader without a title in the book of 1 Samuel. And those of you that were here last month, how many of you that were here last month for that teaching, how many of you read the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel? Oh, come on. One or two and some read parts. All right. Read the book of Samuel. I'm just telling you, if you want to understand David, and David's a great leader, and if you want to understand that, you need to read the story of his life. And 1 Samuel tells the story of before he was king pretty well. And now there's some other stuff in the Bible, all through the Bible, about David, but it tells a great part of the story of his life before he was king. And 2 Samuel tells the biggest part of his life after he became king. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to do the whole book, and I'm going to try not to read too much of it, but we're just going to hit the highlights and try to see some great leadership qualities about David. I want you to know that David is the same man before he was king and after he was king. In fact, he's pretty much the same guy that God found out in the field shepherding sheep. And it was at that point that the Lord selected him to be king. And David didn't become a great leader because he was given position and power. Position and power is just what made it known to everybody else. I mean, God and the sheep already knew that David was a great leader. But it was position and power is when the rest of the world found out. And after David became king, it pretty much the known world knew what a great king, what a great leader that David was. But he's still the same man. And so when we look at 2 Samuel, I'm going to unapologetically say some of the same things that I said last time. But I really believe the Holy Spirit's just going to give us some fresh insight about David as a leader. And this time, David is king. I believe all of us can apply these principles. You know, last time we really focused on the fact that if you don't have a position of leadership, it doesn't matter. God can still use you as a leader. But tonight, now this, as always, these principles are for everybody. But especially if you are in a position of leadership. I mean, if you're the head of your house, or you lead your home, or if you have employees, or maybe you have coworkers that you're kind of the leader of, or maybe you're a teacher, if to whomever you might have a position of leadership, I want you to understand these principles especially apply to you. And by the way, I just encourage you to read all of 2 Samuel. David becomes king after Saul is killed in battle. And here's what the scripture says that David knew about his being king. It's 2 Samuel 5:12. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. First of all, he knew it was God that did it. It wasn't just himself. It wasn't just a people thing. It wasn't a popularity contest, but it was God that had established him as king over Israel, and that he exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. Now, here's a great leadership principle. David knew that it was for the sake of the people. That's why God had exalted him. It put him in this position of leadership. It wasn't because, hey, David, you're such a great guy. I'm going to make you known all over the world. I'm going to put you in this great position. so that you can really enjoy life and have it your way. See, that's kind of the world's view of leadership. It's like, well, you're in charge now. You can do what you want. But David knew that he had been exalted. He had been put in this position of leadership for the sake of the people. He understood that. And you need to understand that. That any position of leadership that you're in, it's not about you. It's about the people that you lead. And let me phrase it another way. It's about the people that you serve. Because when we are in a position of leadership, we need to always see ourselves in that position as a servant that we're there to serve. It's not, David didn't say, now I'm king, I can do what I want. You know, Jesus said this about leadership, Mark 10:42-45. You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of a leader who served, who literally laid down his life. But understand this, as a leader, you got to lay down your life. If not literally, you got to lay it down figuratively. You got to be willing to see yourself as the servant of those that you lead, that it's not about you, that God puts you in that position of leadership for you to serve for the sake of the people. You got to know it's about the people you serve. Number two, David was a great spiritual leader. Now, this is what this is all about for us, this leadership training. It's not just success principles or leadership principles from the world that we've adapted so we can use them in our faith. No, this is all about, this whole thing that we do once a month on Wednesday night is all about being a spiritual leader. But I just got to say this, David was a great spiritual leader. Last month, we talked about how that he inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. Let's just read a little here. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them to my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So they go. Oh, and by the way, Bob was talking about a breakthrough. Well, here's where it is in the Bible in verse 20. David said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." But he prayed and asked the Lord what to do. As you go on, the Philistines once again in verse 22 deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquires of the Lord. He says, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees." Now, the Lord gives him specific instructions. And here's the point. You see, if we're really going to lead anybody in a closer relationship with God, if we're going to influence people in the right direction, we got to be hearing from the Lord. I mean, how are you going to take anybody the right direction if you're not getting direction? We have to be praying, seeking God's guidance, God's direction, so that we can lead other people. And don't ever take for granted. You know, God does things different ways all the time. You see that right there, back to back. The first time, God just says, "Go get them." The next time, he says, "Don't go up. This time, you're going to go around, and I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it." You know, a lot of times, we just kind of assume, well, we ought to do it the same way they did it over there. We ought to do it the same way we did last time. No, we need to be always seeking the Lord and seeking God's direction. As a spiritual leader, that's what you got to do. Here's another great example of David as a spiritual leader. It's how he worshiped God when they brought back the ark of the Lord. And that's our third point. David was a great worshiper. You see that all the way, you know, all through the Psalms. I mentioned Psalms 103 earlier. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's David that wrote that. How about the 23rd Psalm, the most famous Psalm? One of the most well-known passages of Scripture in the Bible. David wrote it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David was a great worshiper. And you see that all through the Psalms, so many fantastic songs that he wrote. But why is it important as a leader? Listen, as a leader, you need to be a great worshiper because people need to see that God is really first in your life. Listen, the great command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And let me tell you, one of the ways that other people can see that is in the way that you worship God. I mean, our worship should be an expression of our love to God. And if we're going to lead other people, shouldn't we be leading them into a closeness with God, into the presence of God? Shouldn't we be leaders that way? 2 Samuel chapter 6 gives us a great example of that. Now, as I said, you see it all through the Psalms and many other passages of Scripture in the Bible, but here's one of those that just happens to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. It says, "Now it was told David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him." So because the ark was there. And so David wants to bring the ark in verse 15. He brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Verse 16, "Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart." Listen. This wasn't something that's ever recorded again in Scripture about David. I don't know that he was always, you know, and every time he went to worship, he was leaping and whirling. I don't know. But I do know that on this occasion, he was so excited about the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, that he was leaping and whirling and making a fool of himself in the eyes of his wife. And he dropped down just a few verses to verse 20. He says, "Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today?'" I think she might have been being sarcastic, don't you? "Uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, and as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor.' Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Now, there's a couple of things I want to point out to you that I think is really interesting about David being a great worshiper. And first of all, you see, he humbled himself. It makes it all about the Lord and that it's God who should be magnified and glorified. And I'm telling you, as a leader, you got to be careful that you don't ever touch God's glory, that you give him all the glory. And one of the ways you do that is in worship. And David absolutely humbled himself in worship. Now, here's the on the other side of that. You don't ever want to be like Michal, where you scoff and make fun of other people who worship. Well, the consequences were pretty severe for her. But one more thing about David. He says, "Of the maidservants you've spoken of," he says, "I will be held in honor by them." And I just want to tell you, for every one woman who will criticize a man for being a real worshiper, men, I'm talking to you. For every one woman who will criticize a man for being a real worshiper, there'll be 10 who will admire him and appreciate the fact that he's a real worshiper. I don't know why it is that so many men today seem to be reserved in their worship. Don't need to be. I don't know who you're trying to impress, but if you're trying to impress the ladies, you ought to be a worshiper. No, that's not right. Listen. But why is it? I mean, who are they trying to impress when we... No, we need to forget about that. It's not a matter of who's looking and who's not, but we just ought to be worshiping God. And as David said, I'll humble myself in my own sight. But be a great worshiper. It gives God the glory. As a leader, see, lead people that direction. David, number four, David was intensely loyal. Such a great quality in a leader. And I have to tell you that when I read Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, I'm not going to give you much scripture here, but when I read those two books, I see this over and over and over in the man David, that he was loyal to people. You know, when he led people into battle, when he led men into battle, they didn't have to wonder if David was going to leave them behind or if he was going to turn his back on them. No, they knew that they could count on David. He was just loyal. One of the greatest stories, I think, about David's loyalty is when Saul's son, Jonathan, had been killed. And of course, David and Jonathan were very close friends. So David has this intense loyalty to Jonathan as his friend. And even though he's passed away, he wants to show kindness to one of Jonathan's descendants. And so 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, David says, "Is there anyone who's left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And they mention Mephibosheth, and in verse 6 he says, "Now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David. He fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Here's your servant.' So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I'll restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.' Then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" You know, Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet. He wasn't somebody who could in any way earn David's favor. There was no reason on Mephibosheth's part for David to show him any kindness at all. But you see, it was because of his loyalty to Jonathan that he shows Mephibosheth this great act of kindness, not only to bless him with wealth, but that he would actually eat at the king's table from then on. Now, I want you to understand that nobody wants to follow a leader who's one way today and another way tomorrow, or who today acts like they're your friend, and tomorrow when you're in a battle or when trouble comes, they're nowhere around. I'm just telling you, leadership's about influence, and people won't be influenced. People won't follow a leader who's disloyal. I think this is one of the things, you know, when you read the story of David, I keep getting that in, see, I want y'all to read these books. Just telling, when you read the story of David, you see this over and over, that the people just loved him. Why? One of the reasons is because of his loyalty. It's just the way David was. It's a great quality in a leader because people know they can count on you when times get hard, when there's trouble. The one time that David was disloyal takes us to the next leadership characteristic. And some of you are going to think, boy, that's quite a spin, Pastor. But we're going to get there. You'll see. David admitted his sin. Next to the story of David and Goliath, David's sin with Bathsheba is probably the most famous story about David. And that's sad because there's so many great things that God did in and through David. And yet, it's amazing how people remember, always remember, and always point out and talk about. And you could even discredit David and try to say, well, David's not a leader. Look at the sin in his life. But I can assure you that God thought otherwise. God forgave David and still used David. Isn't that amazing? That means there's hope for you and me. But why is this a leadership quality? He admitted his sin. Let me tell you, there's two kinds of leaders. There's the ones that sin and admit it, and there's the ones that don't, or that sin and don't admit it. There's no perfect leaders. I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows the story, even though it's pretty famous, but David commits adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, and then, because she's pregnant, to cover up his adultery, he, in effect, has Uriah, her husband, murdered. Now, at that point, the prophet comes and confronts David. And when he confronts him, David doesn't say, I didn't do anything. He doesn't deny. He doesn't try to justify. He doesn't try to come up with a story about how she tempted him. You know, she was out there where I could see her bathing and, you know, I'm a man. God gave me these desires. He didn't come up with any kind. He said one thing. 2 Samuel 12:13. I have sinned against the Lord. Psalms 51, I'm not going to read it tonight, but it is a great prayer of confession and repentance of David. And he repented of that sin. And by the way, even though he repented and the Lord spared his life, he paid dearly. The consequences were great in his life because of that sin. But he admits his sin. And I want you to understand this. Listen, if you're going to lead anybody, don't try to act like you don't have any faults. Don't try to pretend like you have it all together, because I got news for you. They know better. We all have feet of clay. We all make mistakes. And when you're leading people, the worst thing you can do is try to act like that you never mess up. You know what? Everybody messes up. And a lot of the people that maybe you're trying to help or you try to lead, guess what? They've messed up. And you need to show them what the right thing to do is when you mess up. That you admit it to God and you get on with your life. That you don't pretend, you don't hide, you don't justify. And I know that that's the pattern in our world, this thing of always having an excuse. But David didn't do that. You know, our modern day media would have just had a heyday with this, wouldn't they? But David was still a great leader. In spite of his sin, in spite of his faults, and God still used him. And I want to encourage you as a leader, don't deny or justify, but be honest before God and other people when necessary. What I mean by that is you're not always supposed to tell everybody all your problems and all your issues, but I'm just saying, listen, you're not helping anybody when you try to act like you're perfect and you don't have any faults. And when other people see that you've made a mistake, oh, you need to admit that. I'm telling you, you need to own it and be like David. Own up to it. David, number six, David was fearless in battle. I'm not giving you any scriptures here. Just read 1 and 2 Samuel. You'll see it over and over and over that he led the men into battle. By the way, the one time he didn't lead them into battle was when he stayed home and got in trouble with Bathsheba. But over and over you see this, that David led the men into battle. They sang the song about him, that David has killed his tens of thousands. You know, it started with Goliath, and that was just the beginning. But all throughout his time as king, he still led the people in the battle. He was a fearless warrior. Now, you may not lead people into military battle, but we're in a war, and we all face battles. And we need leaders who are fearless, who will stand up and do what's right, stand their ground, who aren't afraid to face off with the devil. Anybody understand what I'm saying? You're not afraid to really get in there and fight with somebody. I don't mean fight with them. I mean fight for them. Fight with them shoulder to shoulder. Amen. Listen, people need that. They need somebody they know that they can count on to have their back. And you see, I know that sounds like I'm talking about loyalty again, but it goes right along with it. But these people respected David because he was fierce and fearless in battle as a fighter. David garnered to himself so many mighty men of valor, the Bible calls them. Men who just did phenomenal things, killed 300 men. I mean, just all kinds of crazy things these men of valor did. How did David attract men like that? I can assure you one thing. If he was a wimp and a coward, he would never have attracted anybody like that. And if you're going to lead people, you can't be a wimp. Nobody wants to follow a coward. Nobody wants to follow a wimp. I'm just telling you, if you want to be a leader, you need to be fearless. And I this is for all of us, ladies, but I'm especially saying to you men, I don't care how politically incorrect it might be, you need to be fearless as a leader. Number 7, David loved deeply. Now, I'm not talking about all his wives and concubines and being a ladies' man. That's not what I'm talking about. He might have been, but that's not what we're talking about. No, I'm talking about his loved ones, I'm talking about his friends, and I'm talking about even his enemies. You know what? Sometimes they're the same people. Well, you'll get there. That's the way it was for David when it came to his son Absalom. Absalom decided that he wanted to be king. And he actually took over the throne of David. Here his son that he loves has taken over the throne. David's men are going to battle against Absalom and the men of Israel. And David warns his men, he says, "Don't touch my son Absalom. Don't hurt him." But Joab killed him anyway. Here's what David said when he found out. 2 Samuel 18:33. "Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, 'O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" I'm telling you, David loved with all his heart. And here this son of his who wanted to hunt him down and kill him, and yet David says, "I wish it had been me instead of you." And I think this is one of the things that people admired about David and made him a great leader in their eyes, was that he loved. And as you read the story, I'm telling you, you see it over and over. I had a hard time with this message because there's so much in there, and trying to condense this down to two messages about David is pretty tough. But some of these principles, it's hard to get them across in just one or two verses. I'm telling you, you read the story and you see that David loved deeply. Number 8, he was amazingly merciful. And this just bears out again over and over throughout the books. But David would be so merciful to people that had opposed him and people who had sought his life, people who were out to get him. In fact, at the very beginning of 2 Samuel, before David had actually become king, there was a man who had opposed him named Abner. And Joab, boy, that Joab, he was a mess. It's another story, isn't it? But he killed Abner. And this Abner was against David. I mean, he was trying to make sure that David didn't become king. They wanted to get rid of David. And so when Abner was killed, I want to read to you from 2 Samuel 3, 35 through 37. This is what it says. All the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day. David wouldn't even eat because Abner had been killed. David took an oath saying, God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it and it pleased them since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner the son of Ner. You know, all the people saw this about David, that he was heartbroken, that it hurt him and he was grieving for Abner. Now, how could he be so merciful that he's actually, this is, you know, it's not just that he's kind to his enemies, but he's actually grieving for his enemy. Well, let me give you one more story. When Absalom had taken over the throne, and David and his men, his people, are leaving and heading out of town, there's a man named Shimei, the son of Gera. The story is in 2 Samuel 16, it's 5 through 10. And he comes out, verse 6 says he's throwing stones. Verse 5 says he's cursing at David, and he's throwing stones at him. Makes all kinds of accusations against him. Verse 8, he says, the Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you've reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you're caught on your own evil because you're a bloodthirsty man. Here's one of David's men says, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. I like that guy. No. He says, what have I to do with you? David didn't want any part of that kind of attitude. And I'm telling you, when you're insulted, when you're wronged, when somebody is riling against you and maybe they're trying to get you fired at your job, figuratively, you're probably thinking, I'd like to take their head off. But here's what great leaders do. They show mercy. And David modeled this. He exemplified this before the people over and over and over, that he showed mercy. Now the story goes on, of course, when David comes back as king, this same guy comes and he falls down at 2 Samuel 19, verse 18 through 23. He falls down before the king. And he says, do not let my Lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my Lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down and meet my Lord the king. And that here's that same guy. Shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David says again, what have I to do with you? He says, shall any man be put to death today in Israel? Do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore, the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Now listen to me. He showed this great mercy. You will set yourself apart as a leader when you show great mercy. And here's what David says about this. Now he showed him mercy when he's being driven out of town. But here he has come back as king in that position. And he says, am I not king? You see, David realized that he was king. He could be the bigger man. And I want to tell you, if you're going to lead people, you're going to have to be the bigger man. Because if you take offense and you get that mentality like the world has of wanting to get even and wanting justice, and not only will those who've wronged you not follow you, I'm telling you the truth. Nobody will end up following you. Not in the kingdom. Because we all need mercy. And when you show mercy to people, I'm telling you, not only do you open the door. Now, get this now. People like Shimei, many of them became followers of David. They became loyal to David because he showed them such mercy. And some of the people that maybe would be your enemy and have wronged you, if you'll show them mercy, you'll become their leader. Well, that's good. Somebody should write that down. I'm just telling you, if you'll show them mercy, you'll become their leader. They'll start looking to you as a spiritual person. David just showed amazing mercy to people. Over and over, you see it in so many stories. The last one, David valued those he served above himself. And I think this one kind of reflects back on the very first principle, that he knew that it was never about him, but it was for the sake of the people. And David, as king, he never put himself in the position that I'm better than everybody else and it's all about me and all y'all go sacrifice your life for me. That's the way a lot of kings were. But David wasn't that way. And I want to give you one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the whole Bible. I love this story. It's 2 Samuel chapter 23, and I'm going to keep it short, but verses 16 and 17. Now, they're in a battle or it faced off with the Philistines, but this is what it says. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Now, David had just mentioned that he would like to have a drink from the well in Bethlehem. That's all it was. He just kind of muttered under his breath, I wish I had a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. And these three mighty men go and get water for David. And this is what it says. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. David valued these men's lives. He wouldn't touch that water. He would not drink it because he knew that their lives shouldn't have been put at risk for him that way. But on the flip side of this, I want you to follow this. I want you to see this. How much they loved David. I don't know about you, but as a leader, I would really like for some people to feel that strongly about me. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm telling you, we can learn a lot from David as a leader. Here's part of why they felt that way. He valued them. He esteemed them. He put them above himself. He never made it about, it's all about me and you people I lead. No, David loved them and he valued them. One more story. We'll finish with this one. 2 Samuel 24, near the end of the book. This is the other time that David sinned terribly, and the sin was that he had numbered the fighting men of Israel. I believe the Bible doesn't specifically call it this, but I think that the sin had to do with being a sin of pride and not really trusting the Lord and instead putting his trust in the number of fighting men. But because of that sin, there was a great plague that had come upon the people. And that was, I know some of you know the story, it's longer than this, but I'm keeping it short, all right? So this great plague has come upon the people, and we're going to go to verse 17. And David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely I have sinned and have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? He's still a shepherd. He's still the same guy. He says, let your hand, I pray, be against me and my father's house. And it's just amazing to me that here when this judgment has come on the people, and you got to go back and read the whole story to get all this, but the Lord was angry with the people. This wasn't just about David. But when the judgment comes on the people, David says, what do these sheep know? I'm the one that's done wrong. Let it be on me and my house. You see, when here's the act of a great leader, this act of intercession where he would actually put himself in their shoes instead, take the judgment himself. Let it be on me and my house. You see, he valued the people that way. He never tried to put himself above the people. You know, a lot of leaders would be, well, let's sacrifice you for my sake. And let me tell you, I want to close with this. Here's the result of that. You talk about leadership. Those men would do anything for David. They would follow him anywhere. They would do anything he asked. They would die for him in a heartbeat. That was because of the way that he treated them. And I'm just telling you, as a leader, these principles will help you really lead people. See, leadership isn't something that's ever forced. The Gentiles, Jesus said, try to do it that way. They lord it over you. But real leadership is a matter of influence. It is a matter of people wanting to follow you. And you look at the life of David and the man that David was, and I'm telling you, many of those principles, if you'll apply those in your life, you'll just turn around and look and you'll see people are following you. Thank you, dear. It got quiet on me. Carmen gave me a that's right. So we're gonna pray. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the call to lead. I thank you, Lord, that in each and every life here, Lord, that there's opportunities to have an influence and make a difference in this world. And I pray, Father, that you would just open our eyes and see the wounded, the hurting, the troubled, the bound, Lord, the clueless that are all around us that need help. And Father, I pray that you'd just put it in our hearts, Lord, even as you did David, put it in our hearts that for their sake, we're willing to lead. We're willing to serve as leaders. And I pray, Father, that you just show us how to reach them, how to help them. Oh, Father, I pray you raise up great leaders in our midst. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for a great harvest, Lord, for fruitful and effective ministry, for many lives being saved, many lives being changed in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, lead somebody. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.